we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry. Good evening, ladies. It's good to be with you tonight. It was a surprise to me as well. Joy has a lot of back pain right now, so she could not make it tonight. You know that's unusual for Joy. She wanted to be here, and I know she's watching. Hi, Joy. We love you. We miss you. We are praying for you and everyone online as well. So let's go ahead and jump into our study here. I have her notes, so I hope I do them justice because they were so good. Let's go ahead and start in prayer first. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here with these wonderful ladies, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would help me stay focused and attentive, Lord, to the notes, that I wouldn't miss anything, Lord, that I would speak only what you have for them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them just that extra shot of energy that they need, Father. I know that the evening is tough, Lord, coming from work or a long day. And I thank you so much that these ladies are here, Father, to learn more about you. And I pray that there would be excitement in their hearts to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for being here. I used to be part of the evening group coming from work, and I remember how difficult it was. In fact, Cindy Johnson used to be the one up here, and she would make us all stand up and do exercises or rub each other's shoulders just to get us, you know, awake and going. I miss that. All right, Micah 4. And let's go ahead and start. Like I said, I do have her notes, so forgive me, I will be reading from them most of the time. I am trusting that you put your whole armor on this morning when you woke up, that you're all here tonight, so I know that you made it through the day and that you're still standing strong in Jesus. How many of you got to hear Sunday's message by Peter Warner? Warren, I'm sorry. Wasn't that amazing? If you did not, it is on, you can catch it on Facebook again, I think, but it is on our website and also on YouTube. And the title of the message is The Battle Behind the Battle. It was incredible. I'll probably watch it again. It was so good. If you missed it, you can listen to it. It's worth listening to again and again. Peter talked about the spiritual warfare and putting on and keeping on your full armor. And I need to be reminded of that very often. There's a battle behind the battle. No matter what I'm going through, I have to remember there's a spiritual realm and there's something else going on. And keep memorizing the Word of God and keep praying and sticking together with one another through the tough times. And have we not all gone through some tough times this past year? It's been hard on families. It's been hard on friends. It's been hard on the church, not getting together. But through it all, we still stick together. When we started teaching through this book, we learned that no matter how dark the day is, the light of God's promises still shine. No matter how confusing and frightening our circumstances may be, the character of God stays the same. No matter how hopeless our future may seem, in Him we can still find hope. The book of Micah is divided into three sections: retribution, restoration, and repentance. Today we move from the section of retribution and move into the section on restoration. How many of you love that word, restoration? Now, I'm not talking about restoring a kitchen or anything like that, because that's not usually very much fun until it's done, but restoring of our life and bringing back up what was once destroyed. Today, we move from that section. So in verses 1 through 3 of Micah 4, you'll notice they're identical to Isaiah 2:4. And you may have asked yourself this question, well, who copied from who? And I'd like to propose, and I think Joy does too, that the word was from the Lord. It wasn't that one prophet heard from the other prophet. The Lord gave them the word. And the Lord gave him the same word, and from the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word stand. And you'll find that verse in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word stand. God confirms his word, and he did it through these two prophets at this time. Repetition is the key to learning. Verses 1 and 2, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. The people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So in the latter days, these last days that we're living in now, actually the last days started when Jesus was born, this part of Micah's prophecy is speaking of the millennium time. How many of you know what the millennial is, the time of the millennium? If you read Revelation 20, you'll learn more about that, okay? The last days began when Jesus first came to earth, when he was born. That's when the last days started. And the last days will end when he comes back, his second coming. This is after the rapture. So here in this portion of Micah 4, we're looking ahead to the things yet to come, yet to happen. So you have to understand Micah's time, he was probably talking about things that maybe made sense to him, maybe not, but it didn't matter because he had God's word. God told him to say these things, so he did. Nations will come. This is the blessing of the millennium, 1,000 years of peace. It is a period of time when the devil is bound up and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the nations will submit to God's leading at that time. They will learn God's ways. There will be peace, and there will be prosperity. The mountains mentioned in verse 1 could be referring to the family or the Lord's household or the place where Jesus dwells, because we read that the people shall flow to it. Imagine it, ladies. People from all the nations will come and learn from the Lord himself. And they'll walk in his paths. What a glorious time. I'm looking forward to that time of just being in his presence and learning from him. Oh, that we would be in that right place, in that place even today. I'm ready for the rapture. Let's go. To flock to hear the word of the Lord, to let him teach us. Okay, Micah 4, verses 3 through 5. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'm sorry. Verse 4, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So you notice there are people walking in the ways of his God, small g. So there were things that they worshiped. But we're going to be walking in the ways of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. How do I know that that peace will take place during the millennium? Because Scripture says that they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Remember, the devil isn't going to be around during this period of time. He's going to be bound up for 1,000 years. So verse 3 speaks of peace and prosperity, and this kind of peace is not able to be attained without God being in absolute control of everything. Can you imagine that? A world where God is ruling. Only God. No more voting, no more administration like that. God's going to be leading. An omniscient, absolutely righteous king will govern an empire that stretches from pole to pole and from seas to shining seas. In that kingdom, there will be no bribery, no corruption, no inequitable laws, no heavy-handed or uneven administration of the laws. His justice is righteous, it's pure, and it's true. No one will be able to argue with him about the judgment that comes. There will be universal peace, prosperity, and progress. God will take care of all his people and all the nations. All nations will be disarmed, so there'll be total disarmament. No nuclear weapons, no chemical weapons, no germ warfare. Prisons will be closed because there won't be a need for them. Can you just imagine what that's going to be like? Factories, once built but for manufacturing military hardware, will be used for production of consumer goods. I used to work for Boeing, so when I read that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what they're going to be producing. There will be no more war, no need for weapons of warfare. People will be productive. They'll use plowshares and pruning hooks. Micah 3:4-3 is also found in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. And you'll find that portion of scripture on the United Nations building. Has anyone ever gone to New York, to the United Nations? Have you ever seen the building? There's a wall there called the Isaiah Wall. And if you Google on that, not now, but if you Google the Isaiah Wall at the United Nations, you'll see this isn't some little plaque. It is a huge wall, and it has Isaiah 2:4 inscripted on it. And there's a photo I found, and there were people standing in front of it, and the wall is really, really big. So it was pretty cool to see that. New York is where I was born, so it was kind of interesting to see that. But it is called the Isaiah Wall, and it is kind of sad when you think about it, because the UN thinks they're going to be able to bring peace to the world, but we know it's just going to be Jesus. He's the only one that's going to be able to bring absolute peace to the world. So that passage speaks of him, not what man can do. Verse 4, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. God said it, so it's going to happen. That verse, verse 4, was George Washington's favorite verse. That's what he envisioned for America. Everyone will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. No one shall make them afraid. Both the vine and the fig tree form a natural arbor of, so it's an image of security and prosperity. And that's what George Washington wanted for the country, for everyone to not fear the rule of the king and England and all those things, but that they would just be secure and have prosperity here in this land. So in other words, each person or household will have according to his need. He'd have everything he needed. The guarantee to this verse is that the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. God said it, I believe it. Settles it, right? If he said it, it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. Verse 5, for all people walk each in the name of his God, small g, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God for all eternity. Verse 6 says, in that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted. That's all in capitals. God will afflict us when he needs to. Lame here refers to the time that Jacob wrestled with God. Y'all know that story? Genesis 32, verses 22 through 32. Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life after that wrestling with God. Have you ever wrestled with God over something? I was trying to think of an analogy or a story in my own life, and I couldn't think of one, and I just loved what Joy shared about her own life. Sorry, Joy, I'm going to share it. A couple years ago, if you know Joy, she is busy all the time. And she very clearly would hear the Lord say, you need to slow down. You need to slow down. And she said, yeah, I do. I need to slow down. She agreed with them, but she wasn't slowing down. And I believe she tripped and fell and broke her foot. So she had to slow down. The Lord afflicted her, and she took that and said, okay, Lord, I'm hearing you. Don't get to that point, ladies. We don't want any broken bones. If he's telling you something, please, please, take heed. I learned from that lesson, from her own example there. We're all lame and outcast. We're all broken. And the Lord will also gather those whom he has afflicted. Yes, sometimes God has to afflict us to get our attention. You might not agree with that, and that's okay, she says. But I'm not sure how you would explain this particular text if you don't believe that. God did not come to rescue the self-righteous or the strong. He came for those of us who recognize that we need a savior. We need a rescuer. without Jesus coming, dying on the cross, shedding his blood for us to rescue us from our own sin, we would be lost. We would have no hope whatsoever. Verses 7 and 8, I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. I'm sure some of you are like me sitting there going, what? Okay, God will always have a remnant of his people. The tower of the flock mentioned in verse 8 refers to Magdala Der, the tower of Edar. And that's found in Genesis 35, verse 20. Okay, so it's a tower. And this tower was found actually near Bethlehem, near where David was raised, King David. So he's referring to that being a tower, that they would be a tower for the flock. A stronghold of the daughter of Zion refers to the citadel where David reigned. But these references, Micah was indicating that he anticipated the complete restoration of David and Solomon's empire. And we know now, because we're in the future, that David and Solomon's empire was fulfilled. It came back through Jesus Christ because he is of that lineage. So he may not have understood it at the time and he anticipated it would be David and Solomon, but it was through Jesus. Does that make sense? All right. Verse 9. Now, why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? Now, Micah brings them to the present time, okay, to his time. He was talking about the future, the millennial time, and now he's back. He goes back and forth. So now he's back into their time. Why are you crying? Don't you have a king? Don't you have a counselor? Jeremiah 8, verse 19 says, listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? They must have felt like Jacob in Genesis 28, verse 16, where he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He is with us always. Verse 10, for pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs. So they had birth pangs. They were going through pains like we see now in our society even. The scriptures talk about birth pangs in the end times before his coming. They had pain, and where there are birth pains, something or someone is going to be born. Something is going to come from all that pain that they're going through. The second part of verse 10 says, for now you shall go forth from the city, and you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go, and there you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. There's the hope. They're going to be taken captive, but God gave them hope. You're going to be redeemed. The prophet Amos also prophesied the same thing in Amos 7. They must have thought that Micah was crazy, because at the time, Assyria were the ones that were ruling. Okay, that's who they were afraid of at that time, not Babylon. So what's all this about Babylon, they're probably thinking. The idea was ridiculed because Assyria was at the top of its power at the time of Micah's prophecy, and Assyria ruled the whole world, what they considered the whole world at that time. It would be a full 100 years, a full century, from the time Micah spoke this prophecy before it actually came into fruition, before they actually saw it happen. And they didn't see it happen because it was 100 years later. The Assyrians would not come into power until 612 BC. Okay, so 100 years later. And yet this prophecy, as bleak as it was, came with a promise that there, from captivity, you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. And God did just that. He always keeps his promises, ladies, no matter what you are going through, what enemies you're facing, if you feel like you're in captivity under something, God will redeem you. Just be patient and keep praying and hang in there. They were persistent, prevalent idolatry. Their persistent, prevalent idolatry brought about Judah's downfall. They kept falling into the sin of idolatry and worshiping other gods. But in Babylon, the ancestral home of idolatry, the Jews were cured of it. Once they got there and they were captives, they turned to God again. Anybody, can you think of another time when they did that? In Exodus, right? When they were captives of Egypt. And when the Babylonian captivity ended and the Hebrew children came back to the promised land, they were devoted to the scriptures and looking for the Messiah. Oh, that would have been the last time that they would have stayed committed. Oh, that they would have stayed committed to the Lord and his ways. But alas, they were people just like you and me. And they had to be reminded again and again not to stray from God's path. So I think we can safely say we've probably been there ourselves. We had those crisis times where we prayed, oh God, please save me. Get me out of this. I'll follow you forever. And then little by little, we stray off sometimes. Not always, but we come back, I hope. You're all here, so I'm going to assume that's yes. Verse 11 and the first part of verse 12. Now also many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. Now everybody is against you, but they don't know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. Watch Israel today, even in the Middle East today, everyone is against this little spot of land, and they want her destroyed even today. It's nothing new, but they don't know what God's got planned for Israel, right? He's got great plans for them. They are his chosen people. The church has not replaced Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people. It was a promise he made to them, and it's a promise that stands today. He is a God of his word. So how can we know the thoughts of the Lord? To go back to the teaching on Sunday from Peter, he said, the enemy, the devil, does not know the thoughts of the Lord, and he does not understand God's counsel. So he's going to keep trying to beat us down. He's going to keep trying to thwart everything that God wants in our lives. But he doesn't know what God's got planned for Israel. He doesn't know what God's got planned for you. So remember that as you're going through that battle. God is sharpening you for something greater. How can I know the thoughts of the Lord? Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God. We should be taking time to talk to the Lord and time to listen to what he's impressing on our hearts and minds. So many times I pray and I'm always asking for something. And Joyce taught me to sit, to be still and to listen. What's he stirring on my heart? What's he showing me through scripture? Listen to what he has to say too. She says here, we're given two ears and one mouth. And that means that we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. A good rule of thumb there, definitely. Listen for the voice of the Lord, and he will allow you to know his thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11. I was so happy this was in her notes. This is my life verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I clung to that verse and through 13 as well, through my most difficult, darkest times. And he was faithful to get me through because I knew he had a future for me. And he had a promise of good things. And when we hang on to that promise, we know that the bad times, we're going to pass through them. We're going to get through them because he's got something better planned. This is God's thoughts towards you. We have to remember that. To give you a future and a hope. And as I said, I clung to this verse through the scariest times of my life. And he never failed me, ladies. Not once did he ever fail me. I failed him plenty. But God never failed me. Verses 12, the latter part of verse 12 through 13. For he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze, and you shall beat in pieces many peoples. And I will consecrate their grain to the Lord and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. How many of you remember day four, question four? It was a challenge, right? that's good. We need to be challenged. We need to find out what these things mean. And symbol, the Old Testament is filled with symbols and things. The Jews understand symbolism. So as we study, we will learn it as well. God himself will gather their enemies like sheaves to the threshing floor. What happens at a threshing floor, ladies? What do they do with the wheat that they bring in? They separate the wheat from the chaff. They throw it up in there and they separate things. Okay. Before the restoration, the Lord will gather the Gentile nations. And guess what? We're a Gentile nation. If you are not a Jew, you're a Gentile. It isn't anything more than that. He'll bring them together and he will judge them. Israel will be his instrument to punish the Gentile nations. He's using Israel. They will have the strength like iron and the power and the wealth that the Gentile nations had shall be devoted then to the Lord. So the iron signifies or symbolizes strength. Bronze is also symbolic of judgment. He's going to use Israel to bring this judgment on the Gentile nations. Okay, so how do I put this information to use today? Okay, it's an Old Testament book. A lot of people don't like reading the Old Testament because they think it doesn't apply. All of Scripture applies. All of Scripture is inspired by God. So we know now to walk in his ways, just from the example of what we see with Israel. We walk in his ways. Now we become a blessing and peace givers to others. Now know that you have prosperity of the soul, all things through Christ who strengthens you, that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Everything he provides for you is for his glory and his glory alone. And to realize that, I love that the song, the last song that we sang, his goodness and his faithfulness to us. That song always takes me through my childhood pretty much. I had wonderful parents. What a blessing. I had great sisters. I'm the oldest of four girls. What a blessing. And maybe your life looks different, but you know what? You're here. You know Jesus is your personal Savior. That is the goodness of God, that he brought you through whatever it was, good or bad. He brought you here to where you are today. Now realize that all this starts right now. Right now, today even. You can start new. Whatever happened today, let it go. If you sinned, confess it. Turn away from it. Now your eternity starts even fresh. His mercies are new every morning, right? So let's start fresh and continue, because it's going to continue on through eternity. Let's practice living for God at every moment. Micah's prophecy would not be fulfilled until well after his death. He is speaking these words. He doesn't get to see any of it fulfilled, but he knew by faith that he had heard from God, and he spoke those things that God told him to speak. When we're talking to someone or witnessing to someone, if you feel a stirring in your heart to say something, pray about it, obviously. But if God's stirring in you to say something to someone, it may not make sense to you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of someone saying, I don't know, God just told me to come and tell you he loves you. Maybe that person just really needed to hear that someone loved them. It's as simple as that. So like Micah, be bold and speak. Know that God's speaking through you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And she had everyone turn to Hebrews 11. So if you turn to Hebrews 11, please, I would appreciate it. And I will just read here from what she wrote, because she did a little summary. Okay, so verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death. Enoch was raptured. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ladies, you do that every day you're doing your study. You're diligently seeking him and more to know more about him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He had no idea where he was going. God just said, go. And Sarah obediently followed him. Didn't know where they were going, but it was promised to him. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. Verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked forward to heavens, the heavens. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was well past her age. I can't even imagine. Sarah was 99. Oh, to be that strong at that age, way back then, they were more perfect, obviously, and didn't age like we do now. Micah spoke in faith because he had God's word to pass on and to speak. We can also live by faith because we have God's word. We have the evidence in our own lives of what he has done for us. Ladies, no one can argue about your testimony and what you share with them. They might want to argue other points, but if your life has been changed, radically changed and touched by the Lord, even if you were just raised in the church your whole life, that's a testimony of God's faithfulness. And no one can argue your own testimony. Do you always feel like you need to have God prove himself to you? Are you struggling with that? Does God need to prove himself to you? Or can you simply believe in him and believe his word? And we all know that Joyce taught us that to believe is to cling to adhere to rely on, and to trust in him. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray, God, that these words tonight, Father, spoke to the ladies. Father, that even if there was one little point, Father, that her heart was touched and moved, Lord, that you would just start to really work that in to her soul, Lord, and to her spirit, that she would grow in that area, Father, that you've ministered to her, Father. And Lord, I pray for those who maybe haven't been walking strongly with you, Father God, I pray that tonight, Lord, they would renew that commitment to you, Jesus, that they would continue to just really get excited about your word, even the Old Testament, Lord. You have so much in there for us. I pray that you would give them the tools that they need, Lord, to learn more about you, that they would grow, Father, that they would be bold at work or at home or wherever their mission field is, Father, that you have these ladies. God, I pray for strength upon them, for the power of your Holy Spirit to fall upon them right now, Lord. I pray that their time in small group would be blessed, Lord, that they would learn from one another and just be excited about what Joy had to share with them today. Lord, we trust in your Holy Spirit to continue to guide and lead us. And we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.